Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
Welcome to Gamescoop, everybody. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. I'm joined today by Greg Miller.
Hi.
Marty Sliva.
Hello.
Ryan McCaffrey.
Top of the morning.
We're talking about the Xbox One launch lineup. Have we played all of the launch games now?
In theory, in one capacity or another.
At least, yeah.
I've looked at them all.
All of us put together.
Yeah.
All the first party and most of the third party games at this point, I think.
We haven't seen Assassin's Creed on Xbox One yet.
That's true. So there was that event recently here in San Francisco where they had all the launch games. That one was conspicuously absent, I thought.
Well, that was a mostly, almost entirely first-party event.
Well, we had Battlefield, they had
Call of Duty, had its own floor.
Yeah. Peggle. Well,
that's because it's sort of an, well, that's an exclusive. Yeah. Peggle's an exclusive. Okay. And then Call of Duty's special case.
It gets its own floor.
Battlefield. Yeah, I don't know. You got me there. You got me.
Scooped him.
Get the hell out of here, Ryan.
Not a lot of third-party games at this event.
Yeah.
Well, how are we feeling about the launch lineup?
Meh.
Yeah.
Good. I'm definitely better with it now that I've seen Dead Rising. Dead Rising was the game, you know, that I was like, this is my Xbox One game when I get my Xbox One. And seeing it looks like fun. I don't know how the story will hold together or anything like that. But the fact that they got rid of time missions, you don't have to worry about them if you want to play in that mode and not have them. It looks like a lot of fun. There's a gazillion zombies on screen. Yep. I'm like, I'm in.
Yeah.
At one point, I turned the corner in a vehicle, and it was just not even hyperbole. No, it was packed. Yep. It was an alley completely wall-to-wall zombies.
That sounds amazing.
I actually stopped and was like, whoa.
Yeah,
that's nuts.
Yeah, I had that moment too. I was like, yep, totally. And they're shooting fireworks into them. The fireworks are taking them off into the sky. I was like, awesome.
That sounds magical.
Yeah.
I think in the grand scheme of console launches, I would say this is in the top 50%, certainly.
Yeah.
This is much better than like a PS2 launch, or I would say, aside from Halo, even the original Xbox launch.
Yeah, how does it compare to the 360 launch?
I actually feel like it's about on par with the 360 launch, because now that I've really dug into the first party games a bit, Forza is just rock solid. That game, that's great. You know, if you don't like cars, it's not going to magically sway you to like cars. And then, Greg already talked about Dead Rising, and the big pleasant surprise that had me leaving that place happy was Rise, because I finally got to play the game from the beginning.
Okay.
I'd played a little bit of the two-player Gladiator mode multiplayer, which was real rough at the time, and I'd played a combat test sandbox, which just to show off, okay, the combat's pretty cool, here's how the moves and executions and stuff work, but it was in a test level. It wasn't a part of the game you'll actually play. So I played the first about hour and a half of the game, and it's very scripted, it's totally linear, but the action's good, there's a lot of neat scripted sequences, and it's really pretty.
It is really pretty.
I was very pleasantly surprised to that Rise seems, I think it's really turned out to be a very, very good game. Not saying it's like 10 out of 10, amazing, buy the system for it, but it's, you know, everybody was pretty worried about it coming out of E3.
Mm-hmm. Marty, what stood out to you?
At the event proper, I mean, I would say that was the first time I got to play both Battlefield and Ghost, and I had a really great time with both of them. And I know it's, you know, third party, they're going to be on every console under the sun, but I think between those two, and assuming Assassin's Creed Black Flag holds up on Xbox One, I'm assuming, you know, I'm going to make a safe assumption it's going to be just as good as the PS4 version. Yeah, that was good. You know, those three games are you know, fantastic. And then I got to play around to Kinect quite a bit.
I saw people doing, I'm jet skiing. Look at me. And I was like, all right, see you.
What game is that?
That was Kinect Sports Rivals.
Okay. That was the preseason, which the game got delayed till
spring,
but this is a free download day one, you get to play that one event, and it has some leaderboard stuff and some unlockables that'll carry over into the game proper. Technically, I definitely, I mean, Kinect 2.0 is like a quite a step above the original Kinect. You know, it was a noisy room, but we were able to, it was recognizing voice commands. The motion was very intricate. It could detect this from this from this.
Nice.
I almost did a middle finger.
Don't do that, Marty. Come on now. Family scoop here.
I just want the bowling. That's all I care about.
Be a lot of fun.
The bowling was really good, of course, in Wii Sports, and then in when Kinect Sports 1 ripped it off, it was still great.
Exactly.
And so I just want more bowling.
Yeah, and you know, that's good. Like, I'm still not 100%, I don't think that game is there for the you know, this is the reason the console costs $100 more than the PS4. I don't think that game has been shown yet. You know, but hopefully the tech's there, someone just has to make the game.
Yeah, I feel like the strongest games in the launch lineup are, I mean, you've got Call of Duty, you've got Assassin's Creed, solid, and then NBA 2K14, and then I do think Forza, Dead Rising, and Rise. I think that's...
You don't put Battlefield in there?
I haven't played Battlefield enough at all, actually, to say. I have not had a chance to sit down with it, so...
Yeah. McCaffrey over here, just undercutting the best game there, the one I'll probably put the most time into.
Peggle 2.
The review on IGN says...
I forgot about Peggle 2. I forgot about Peggle 2.
Not a day one launch title.
True. The day one launch title I was talking about was the golf game.
Tower Star Golf.
That was fun, impressive. Man.
Marty and I shot a video about that.
Yeah.
They ripped off your likeness.
It actually will not be releasing because I'm gonna sue to stop that game from coming out until I get my cut.
Yeah.
They think they can just put a little twirly mustache on and it's okay now.
That game's gonna take off though, and you have a Halloween costume for next year.
For sure.
So you're set.
That's true. I'm good to go.
But no, I love that.
That game looks cool. It's basically Hot Shots Golf on Xbox One.
But for me, it was awesome. Like totally the idea of the little challenge, like, you know, when the ball rolls up, I get to see where you are. If you've put up your course times or whatever, and
you
can go beat
essentially
it.
Golf against your friend's ghost.
Yeah.
Like PGR Forza.
Good job, Damon. That word of the day calendar.
Yeah, we like that game.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Peggle 2.
Yeah,
I'm all about
it. It's out in December, and it's $12, whereas most of those other digital titles are $20.
Yeah, so. Like Crimson Dragon.
Correct.
What do you guys think about Crimson Dragon?
Crimson Dragon.
It was fun.
It's fine.
I mean, I played about 45 minutes of it. It was fine. It was fun. It wasn't stunning.
Yeah.
Fine.
IGN.com. Not quite stunning. yeah, I mean, I'm a big, like, Star Fox, Panzer Dragoon, Rez fan, and I haven't played a game like that in a while, so, you know, I definitely want to give it some more time.
Yeah.
I like the monster design, the design of the dragon.
Yeah, the creature design
is true.
Rad. Yeah, there's some of them that are just huge. Like, you think your thing's big, and then you see this thing, and whoop.
It's not the prettiest game in the launch lineup, because it was originally a 360 game.
Yeah.
And it was ported up, just like LocoCycle, actually. Actually, LocoCycle's still coming out on 360
as
well.
Later, right? Not right at first.
Not right at launch, but...
What do you guys think about LocoCycle? That's a day one game.
Yeah, they have some live action cutscene stuff, which Twisted Pixel has done in their other games, and there was, I'm not feeling the humor in this one. I was actually...
I've heard a lot of people say this.
But I do want to play the whole game, because all I've played is like the first level at a repeated E3 Gamescom PAX and stuff, and even at this showcase event. So I do want to sit down and give the gameplay a full chance, but I'm not feeling the humor at all.
I'm there with you.
Did you guys check out this D4 game?
I did, yeah.
What was up with that?
That was a weird demo.
Yeah, right?
So it's by, it's like an episodic, cel-shaded Kinect adventure game by Swery, who also did, yeah, I know, right? You just died a little bit.
I'm dead.
By Swery, who did Deadly Premonition, which is a weird game.
Yeah.
Cult classic.
Cult favorite. The game is very strange. It's by like a time-traveling detective who's on a plane.
He's there to find somebody, the girl, what's her name? Lucy or something, the thing against the mirror. You're like, whoa, bro.
He keeps looking at people with D, but there's a lot of very bizarre Kinect, like quick time fights and cutscenes, very strange, quirky humor.
Yeah.
So what do you have to do when you're playing the game?
When you're moving, when you're like exploring a level, it's almost like The Walking Dead, where there's certain nodes you can interact with. But you are moving your character left and right by doing this. He's kind of rotating. You are pointing to.
Not liking that already.
And then during the fight scenes, it's obviously very much someone comes at you with like a dinner tray, and you have to hold your arms up to block it.
Sure. Otherwise, flashbacks to middle school right now.
Yeah.
Right.
The lunchroom brawls.
Yeah. It was weird. It was different, which I always appreciate. I'll wait to see how the first episode is when it comes out. That is not a launch game, though.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that is an early 2014.
It does not have an asterisk next to it on this list.
Ruh-roh.
That means it's not a day one game.
Yeah.
What was that Kinect horror game by Sega that came out when Kinect first launched?
Oh my god.
What was that one called? It was
Rise
bad.
Of the Nightmares?
Or yeah.
So yeah, you were like in a dungeon.
Rise of Nightmares?
That thing is terrible.
Yeah, remember that game?
Yeah, I don't think it went over that well.
Nope.
We were like getting that demo at the preview event, and we were both just looking
you
at it.
You started like walking away, like, backing away. Speaking of bad demos, Greg Way, Project Spark.
Really?
I sat down, I was like, I love Little Big Planet. This is one of these games that I'm totally in for. And nothing in the demo was working. Things were breaking. He'd hand me the controller, and I'd get going, and then like the commands wouldn't work, or it wasn't intuitive, and I was totally lost, and you have to pop out, and then like... They had the cool thing of like you get to. They have it in there with Kinect. You can mocap character moves and stuff. So I was in there and I was like doing the Hogan thing and all this stuff. And they tried to pop it in, and my character had disappeared from the world. And they're like, "All right, we'll just assign it to a goblin." I was like, "Oh my god!"
From day one at E3, I get that a lot of people enjoy those real sandbox creation type games, but I haven't felt that game at all. Nope, not for me.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you appreciate the game's spirit, but like,
it's a great idea, and like as a Little Big Planet creator, like what they're talking about and showcasing, saying is great. And then when I sit down and it's just this like list of things, and it's if this then that makes sense, but like then when that command doesn't work, it's like, well,
it's basically XNA the game. From the demo I saw, that same thing where you have to hook up all these behaviors to things to get them to do what you want. I mean, again, for the people that want to dig in and do that, great. But I've got a 2-year-old at home. I have no time, and I'm lazy. I just want to play an already made game.
Sure.
I don't want to build my own.
Yeah.
Did you check out Need for Speed Rivals?
We'll be seeing that after the recording of this, but before it airs, which is totally an anachronism.
Move your mouth now, and then you can come back and put VO in it instead.
Interesting.
Ooh, interesting. Wow. I can't believe it.
ER.
I was surprised to see Zoo Tycoon there, too. I didn't know that was coming out.
Leah Jackson, one of our new associate editors, played it. She really liked it.
Yeah, it has a place. Yeah. That's a franchise that's been going on for a while.
IGN.com.
I don't know. I kind of want to wander around a zoo and pet animals. That seems fun.
Again, Zoo Tycoon is not aimed at any of four of us, and probably not a lot of people even watching this. It's for a different audience. You know, it's not for the person buying the $500 console on launch day. It's for someone in that guy's family.
I want Pokemon Zoo Tycoon.
I want Pokemon Snap back.
So do I.
Yeah.
You see the Pokemon Pikachu Mystery game that's coming out?
No.
All right,
The one. Well,
is that an Xbox One launch title?
You're a detective.
There's another
Pikachu
one.
Pikachu killed someone.
No way. No way.
Pikachu killed someone. You're a detective.
That's awesome.
Wow, we really just.
Pika's got blood on his hands.
There's also that one that uses the 3DS camera, and Pikachu will mimic your facial expressions.
Okay.
That one sounds pretty cute. So overall, we think the Xbox One launch lineup is. Solid.
Yeah.
I feel like, no killer apps. Yeah. Titanfall is that game, having played it.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And
I feel like, same thing about 360 lineup. It was solid. It's like a lot of B-plus titles, but no real A-pluses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thanks, guys. The Xbox One is out November 22nd. For much more on the console, stay tuned to IGN GameScoop. Welcome back to GameScoop, everybody. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. I'm joined now by Ryan McCaffrey, Dan Stapleton,
hello.
Justin Davis.
Scoop!
And we have gathered to discuss a very important issue here. One of our fans, Ray, has written in. Remember, viewers, if you have your own questions or topic suggestions, you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@ign.com, just like Ray did. Ray says, as soon as the PS4 launch date was announced, I asked for 2 nights off from work, November 14th and 15th.
Wise man.
Yep.
When my wife found out about this, she was pissed and asked, seriously? With an exclamation point and a question mark. He continues, whenever the Xbox 360 and PS3 were released, I was in high school, didn't have any money. So skipping school to get a next-gen console was out of the question. Now that I'm 25 years old and have a great job, I plan on enjoying the launch of a next-gen console and believe that I shouldn't feel bad about it.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, my job has no problem with it, and they're going to pay me for those days off.
Yeah.
So, is this okay, or does my wife have reason to believe that this is silly?
So, speaking as someone who was married around that age and divorced around that age,
but married again.
Married again, now happily, much wiser this time around. What? she should, if he's a hardworking guy, she should accept that if this is the time off he wants to take because he works hard, let him enjoy his PlayStation 4 at launch.
Right.
What's the beef? I don't understand.
Let's point out that more supportive.
We should point out that all these gentlemen are all married.
Yeah, what a coincidence. I'm the only, you picked the panel.
I'm the only swinging bachelor here today. These are all married men, so they have perspective on this.
So my question is like, did he not take time off when she wanted him to? Like, we got to go on a trip. Sorry, honey, I can't do that. I'm working.
I can't spare the vacation days to go see
In her mind,
parents.
She must be thinking those days could be used for us to go on vacation. Right, he has a limited allotment of vacation days, and he's spending two of them.
I don't know. He says he has a great job. Maybe his job, he doesn't have to work whatever he wants.
Well, there's that too.
So, Ray, first of all, obviously it's okay for you to take those days off. Your wife is dead wrong. Let's get that right out of the way to begin with. I was going to go into this game scoop with kind of a jokey answer, but I actually have something a little bit serious that I want to say about this, which is just, it's a commentary on the human condition. We're not meant to just work. Let me put it this way.
Off of space right now.
If you work, you know, 5 days, 50 weeks a year, you work and work and work, and you do that for 50 years, and that's your entire life is just spent working. What you're building up to are moments like this moment where you can carve out a little bit of time for yourself.
You're not wrong.
And take it back and be a man.
Justin, get back to work.
I know. Well, this is, and I mean that in all seriousness. Like, you need moments like this. And, like, obviously, hopefully, Ray, you're taking vacation with your family. Go take your wife somewhere nice, do something lovely. But it's also important to have time to yourself.
Yes.
And be able to, you will end up having a falling down moment and be like Michael Douglas if you don't do things like this.
What do you mean breakfast is only served until 10:30?
So here's my question, though. Is launch day necessarily the best day to do this?
You mean when everything may crash and burn?
Right, it's like, you are taking a very real chance that you will be sitting there twiddling your thumbs, yelling at your television, like, PlayStation, why don't you work?
He probably wants to line up at midnight, I'm guessing.
Right.
And so it's the whole launch experience, for good or for ill.
There's no Kinect in there, so yelling at the PlayStation won't do any good.
It does do voice, though.
Okay.
There's like a launch day patch that's supposed to add in more voice commands. So you can yell at it.
It sounds like he works nights. He says, I asked for two nights off work.
Right.
Oh.
Mm. That's a great job where you work at night. Is he a pharmacist? I know a guy. If you're a gamer, if you know, we talked about this recently, if you identify as a gamer, there are a few bigger deals to you than a next-gen console.
Right. It's every 8 years.
And that's only, another point I was going to make.
If you know, we live 70, 80, 90 years, hopefully.
If you're lucky.
That only happens 10 times in your lifetime.
Well, right? Assuming that there is another console launch after this one.
It doesn't happen very often. This is a really big deal to people like us.
Ray, if you show this to your wife, this is what I would say, Ray's wife.
This is Ray.
Mrs. Ray, this is not going to happen again for another 7 or 8 years.
Enjoy the moment. Yeah. If he needs to take more time off to
But then again, if this were like some ladies, well, I don't know, The View or something, they would probably be having a very different conversation right now.
What was the one with the supermodel, one that has the talk show, the Tyra Banks show. This would be a very different conversation right now.
So that I do want to point out that
you're
not the
worst. How dare he take time off?
But it's paid vacation.
Yeah,
it's not like
he's still putting, you're still bringing home the bacon, as it were.
Right. So he's taking Thursday and Friday off, and then also has Saturday, Sunday. That'll be a fun.
It's a strong call.
Strong.
The irony is that even though we fully support him taking the day off, none of us can take those days off.
No. Like, it's the busiest time of the year for us.
We can't take those days off.
So what we really need, actually, is we need a sequel to this episode of Game Scoop where we get Mrs. Ray's side of the story. Full perspective here.
I do want to say, I guess I can't speak for my wife. I feel like she would be okay with it. I feel like she
would
say,
if you had a different job and you...
If I really wanted to take a personal day to do this, I feel like that would be fine.
Yeah.
My wife's good about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think my wife would be cool with it.
It's important. These things are important.
Well, the thing, hopefully I know this has become like relationship counseling episode of Game Scoop. From like, possibly, in my case, not necessarily the best giver of advice, but, hopefully... She knew what she was signing up for when she married. Obviously, he's been a gamer since at least high school.
Yeah,
because he mentioned 360 and PS3 launch. So, you know, exactly. It's a give and take, and this is one of those situations where
you
hopefully
take.
She's going to give.
And this is no different from like a sports fan who wants to take a day off to go to a big game.
Yeah.
You know, it's just something you're excited about that you know, you should take time off of work to
it's
do.
It's like a Super Bowl that only happens once every 8 years.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. So this is
it's like every other Olympics. So every other Summer Olympics.
There you go. Yeah.
I love my wife very much. Baby, I love you. But
games can fit. My wife will never see this.
Yeah, nothing that you know comes after the butt here.
But the things I'm about to say. No, like we don't really argue, but we do have the things where it's like there's just gaming shit all over our house, and she doesn't like it. And I tell her two things. I'm like, A, this is not any different than it's been in the 10 years we've been together. Like, I am the same. I was a big gamer then. I'm a big gamer now. I do it for a living. Like, this is just like I'm sorry, and this isn't going to change in another 10 years. So. Deal.
Hashtag deal with it.
Hashtag deal with it. But, you know, secondly, I'm not a big sports guy. And this is what I tell her. I'm like, I'm not watching football every Sunday, every Monday.
This is your NFL.
I'm not dragging her along to, like, playoff, I don't know, like, San Jose Earthquakes games or Sharks. Like, I don't do any of that. Like, video games are my thing.
Earthquakes is soccer for all of you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're like, what's Earthquakes?
Sure.
Yeah, Ray, GameScoop fully supports you taking a couple days off for the PlayStation 4 launch. It's a really big deal. Go with God. And for lots more, stay tuned for more from IGN GameScoop. Let's check in with the listeners.
Hi, listeners.
Hey, Hello. Listeners.
Hello.
Listeners, remember you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@ign.com, just like Robert Beer from Australia.
That's
did.
A good name.
That's a real good beer.
Bob Beer.
Johnny Vodka's brother.
Beer.
Robert says, I was wondering, do you guys think the new consoles were both fully ready to launch? Or were they just responding to one another to launch this year and rush to get out first? With the delays in launch titles, plus the article I just read about initial PS4 issues, do you guys think Sony or Microsoft pulled the trigger too early?
I mean, I'm sure in a perfect world they'd want the PS3 to go on for 30 years.
And sure.
Xbox 360.
Absolutely.
So, I mean,
yeah.
Like, I think there's definitely them pushing each other forward and then we have to get out, we have to do this.
Sure. And you have seen launch games get delayed. You saw Drive Club slip. You saw things like Watch Dogs, which obviously wasn't one of the console makers' fault.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, both consoles, you know, Xbox One requires that huge day one patch to do quote unquote anything.
Yep.
And the PS4s, we've noticed, what, 0.04% of them are sort of.
Yeah, there's firmware for PS4.
Yeah.
And anytime you talk to them about things that it doesn't do, they're like, well, not on day one.
That's the thing that bothers me, is that right out of the box, these things are basically useless.
Yeah, I mean,
so like, without a day one update, they're
The Xbox One is definitely useless.
Yeah, yes. The PR literally said the word, like, you can do nothing.
I don't even think you can watch, a DVD.
Yeah.
To me, I think it's crazy that you pay $500 for a device that does nothing right out of the box.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, it's weird. You know, but at the same time, you're going to update it, and 5 years from now, that's just going to become, like, a trivia fact.
Yeah.
Like, hey, remember when you bought them and you had
Fun
to download
fact,
that? That was weird.
The Xbox One was a brick when you first bought it.
You wonder about, I guess, the people who don't know that, right?
Yeah.
Are asking for it, and they don't have Ethernet, and they're in the middle of the country,
sure,
and they want to play Dead
Certain
Rising.
Certain countries, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's probably not a ton of people, but if it's even the tiniest bit, then it's an issue, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
The tiniest bit of people having problems with their PS4s right now, and it's an issue.
Well, Sony says it's 0.04 or 0.4?
I think it was 0.4.
Yeah, so this negligible amount they say, but that has started.
What, out of a million?
A total chilling effect, right? Of people all over the internet being like, do I wait? Do I not buy it now? What do I do? I don't know how I feel about this.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that there's been a lot more kind of direct response with both of these companies, probably more than ever this time around.
Right.
I don't know if we'll ever see like the year and year disparity between the two like we did. I mean, we did with the Wii U, but that's obviously showing its own set of problems right now.
Yeah.
But I think there's like, it had Sony been like, we're going to wait a year. I think Microsoft would have been like, yeah, us too.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah.
What is interesting is that, you know, the fact that the Xbox One needs this day one update is really important.
Yeah.
So, like, how is Microsoft communicating that to normal people who are just going to buy it, right?
Stickers?
Like, here's the thing. I don't know. Oh, maybe you can help me on this, Damon. PlayStation 3, when a game needs a firmware to run, it'll ship with that firmware on the disc. So you pop it in, and it'll be like, wait, I can install from here if you need me to.
Yes.
Does Xbox do that? Would that be the case that if you...
I mean, a lot of times when you put in a game, it'll say, an update is required...
you know, yeah, to play this game. But I don't know if it's pulling it off the game or the internet.
Yeah, that's a really good point, actually.
There's also these games need updates that aren't on these games.
Yeah.
Too. So like Forza has like a, I think it has like a 4 gig update or something like that day one, which is like
insanity. Still an IGN video feature where we don't plug the internet in and see what happens with the Xbox.
Guys, don't steal that.
Keep it locked to IGN.com and set your phasers to fun.
I'm sure it's going to be fine in the long run.
Yeah,
sure. 6 months from now.
It's going to be a hilarious, fantastic, terrifying
beautiful
few
disaster.
Weeks. It always is, right?
But then, like you said, in 6 months, people will be playing Infamous and Titanfall, and no one will give a shit about this.
The first month, it's like, it hates blind people, and your hands don't work on it 50% of the time, and they're like, oh, we fixed it, don't worry.
And then it's rickety.
Yeah, and then it's wobbly forever. Who knows? I don't know.
Weebles wobble, but they don't bother.
Are we all getting PS4s tomorrow?
Yes.
No.
Really?
Yes.
Martin's I just don't have money.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not getting anything this fall. I don't know. There's nothing. Like, I played Assassin's Creed. That's the one I want to play.
It's totally one of those things where I don't need either of these devices, but I want them, and
I will get both of them when, like I said, Infamous and Titanfall come out.
Yeah. All right, and we're all getting them delivered to the office, right?
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Yeah, tomorrow there's going to be like
a wall of PS4s.
12, 15 PS4s.
We're going to have like 15 unboxing videos.
You know, Greg, this is a really good way to alert robbers.
This won't go up in time.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
Also, guess what? If you ever robbed IGN of a mailman, you'd get hundreds of games every day.
Could we set a Guinness World Record for the most PS4 boxes opened at the same time?
I think we might. Or we could try. Yeah.
Try to. Tell community after this. Tell Jesse.
All right, moving on. This is Tiernan Shields.
Tiernan Shields, also with a made-up name.
Pretty solid name.
Yeah. Made-up.
Robert Beer and Tiernan Shields.
Wow.
Some strong names this week. Hey, guys. Over the last year, I've started gaming a lot more.
Welcome back.
You rode into the right place.
I've always played Call of Duty, FIFA, and Uncharted, but I've missed out on games like BioShock, Infamous, and Mass Effect.
Oh, wow.
Is it too late to appreciate these games?
Never.
No. Especially those three you mentioned. Like, they all still look gorgeous. The original BioShock is gorgeous still.
Yeah. Mass Effect 1 still sucks, but the other two are really good.
Yeah. I like Mass Effect 1. But Mass Effect 2 is much better.
Yeah. Mass Effect 2 is the bomb.
No, all these games from this generation that were great, none of them are old.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm yes and no with that, because there's a lot of classic games I'll go back and play, but I have a tough time with games from like 5 years ago.
That for was some, this gen, though.
I know, but it was a long time ago.
It is kind of tough to go back and play GTA 4 right now.
Sure, yeah. I didn't like it in the first place.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, me neither.
I can still go back and play Turok, no problem.
Yeah, sure.
This gen's Turok?
Dinosaur Hunter. Yeah.
This, what?
I thought you meant Dinosaur Hunter on 64.
I can do this gen.
What song is that?
That's the Dog the Bounty Hunter song. But then I just changed it to Turok the Dinosaur Hunter.
God, you are so fascinating.
I can do this, Jin. I think it's harder to go back to PS2 games, even harder to go like to PS1 games.
Sure. Yeah.
Sure,
are
pretty much unplayable.
Which is funny because Super Nintendo games are timeless.
That's the thing. They look so much better. NES, Super NES games still look fantastic. Yeah. PS1, N64 games look like
Final
garbage.
Fantasy VII looks like trash.
I think Super Nintendo games were kind of like they're sort of triumphs of their own limitations, whereas PS1 games, like, you go and play them and like the camera gets stuck and like, some guy's like, well, how have we got the thing? And you're like, this game sucks.
It's like when games went 3D, they're really ugly for a while.
For a long time.
And then when they started using voice acting, the voice acting was terrible.
Yeah. For the longest time, it was just like, help, we need to go follow.
A chill sandwich. The 32-bit area is like the awkward early teen.
Yeah.
The puberty years.
Before they all got hot.
Of video games.
Yeah, it's really funny.
Then they were super smoking.
I remember when like Shadow of the Colossus first came out, everyone was like, gee, like nothing could look better than this. And you go back and play and you're like, wow, this can't keep like 20 frames per second.
Yeah, no, at
and
all.
The draw distance isn't great. Like 15 years, are people going to play The Last of Us and be like, God, what the hell is going on here?
I'm going to be sick.
what were my grandparents thinking?
Well, I don't know. Like, I can't go back and
years.
I can't go back and play like Cameo or Condemned or any Perfect Dark Zero. And like right now, we're like Killzone Shadowfall. It's one of the best looking games. Like in 5 years, we're gonna be like, this is vomit, because we're never happy.
That's true.
It just keeps getting better.
Yeah,
that is true. No, Tiernan, you can definitely go back and play these great games for this.
I like how we're like, God, they all look like garbage. Stuff, and then it's like,
this generation, you're pretty safe.
Please play them.
I think you can play BioShock.
I think you're fine. Yeah.
But then there's always a debate. Like, should I wait because they'll probably put that out in HD?
Just play Wind Waker HD.
Yeah, do that.
Only play that?
Yeah, just play.
This is Alex Jones from the United Kingdom.
A. Jones?
This is the
I think it's
Matt
Alex Jones
of the
UK. Yeah. He says, with all the new tech coming in and next gen, I feel as though we're slowly getting rid of local multiplayer. Need for Speed doesn't support split-screen multiplayer, and Call of Duty Ghosts has removed four-player split-screen down to two. Do you think we've seen the end of having a living room full of your pals playing together? And are we forced to play online? Alex, I'm afraid this has been happening for a long time.
It has.
Not a new development.
Actually, frankly, I'm floored. Did the Call of Duty game before this one have four-player split-screen multiplayer?
That's incredible.
Really?
Apparently.
I tried to play Resident Evil 6 split-screen co-op, and it was the worst thing.
Yeah, it's impossible.
Yeah, I mean, the reason it's not there is because it kind of sucks.
Yeah.
You lose the visuals you like so much. The screen gets small. We keep behind bigger TVs, and we're totally into it. But it is a weird thing of, like, I just came back from the PlayStation 4 event in New York. And they give us the PlayStation 4s. They give us all the games for the PlayStation 4. And so everybody goes to their room after the events of the nights and whatever. And then we discover that the hotel rooms, the TVs in them, have the HDMI ports blocked. So there's no way to play the games you just got. Now, granted,
why is the HDMI port blocked?
I have no idea why this hotel would do that, but apparently that's something hotels
can't
do.
Be doing that. At
don't
standard.
Hook anything up through HDMI.
We don't want to use protection.
Too many people in the standard try.
Yeah, exactly.
This is a component only hotel.
There's nothing bad that could happen.
Someone had to have sex with a TV once.
So Sony taking on their feet. They had these hospitality suites on every floor because what it was this hotel was completely taken over by PlayStation. You'd go up, and after you got past like where everybody was staying, every floor was just games, and you'd come off and there'd be signs on the doors for what game was there. You'd go in and talk to the developers, play their games. And so then at the end of every hallway was a hospitality suite with drinks and food or just some place to go do interviews like we did all the conversations in. And so they put notes all of a sudden out to everybody's door, their guest room door, saying from, I think it was 9 o'clock tonight until 5 a.m., the hospitality suites will be open and you can take your PS4s up there and you can play if you guys really want to. Because there were people there legitimately trying to review the console as soon as they got it. And so we took ours up there and we're like, all right, we'll all go. Like me, Scott Lowe, Mike Aransky, and Gravish from the video team went up there and then we started texting our friends from, you know, developers or anybody and just to come up and play games. And so people came up and it was like, all right, there's, you know, four of us here. We have four DualShocks. What are we going to play? And it was like, Madden supports, and people are like, how? And I'm like, it's terrible. And we did a game with that, and everybody's like, it sucks. I'm like, I know. Nobody wants to be.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to be the quarterback. Nobody wants to be the other person. And then it was like, oh, I got Call of Duty, and they put Call of Duty in, and it's like, oh, it's two people.
Yeah.
We'll run the alien mode. And I'm like, oh, it'll be short, right? Like, oh, no, this is long. It's like, this sucks. Yeah. Why would anyone do this?
There's still, like, the Nintendo's still carrying that torch. Like, Super Mario 3D World's four-player mode is
But that's
is
not
really
exactly, and it's awesome, but it's not split-screen anymore.
Right.
No, no. Yeah.
Super Mario's everyone on the screen, and Mario Kart will be everybody on the screen in little boxes, of course.
Yeah.
Smash Brothers, there's games that do it well, but then there's, like, I don't want to go back to shoehorning in a first-person shooter experience and putting it up in these little things.
Yeah, no.
I don't even like where they took it either. Like, you played some Lego Marvel, right? You
right.
know what you do in those games when you play split-screen, and it has that diagonal line
right.
that, like, spins like a
broken
clock. Oh,
so nauseating, yeah.
Hey, it's better than it was before.
It's true.
Batman would run to one side of the screen, and then Robin would run to the other, and the game would, like, have a seizure trying to figure out what to do. Like, you could feel it trying to come apart.
Yeah. When GoldenEye was a big deal, like, online gaming for consoles wasn't really
exactly.
a big deal.
Sure.
So, like,
yeah.
Now it just doesn't really make sense. It's not. Yeah. It's not an ideal experience.
And the way people play with light and shadow and detail, like that, that's why GoldenEye worked, right? It's because it looks so basic. Is that you could see everything in your little, you know, 4x3 box. Yeah. Whereas now it's like I can't even imagine not being able to focus on everything.
Sure.
We'll always have fighting games.
Games
will always
true.
Be.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Smash Brothers.
Gone Home.
Local Gone Home multiplayer.
Gone Home is a big split screen multiplayer.
Play a second
game.
Player Christmas Duck. Second player plays as the ghost. you're like I in Beyond Two Souls, like trying to go around the house.
You can play that game. That's two players.
That's true.
Me and Brian
did do that.
All right, that's all this gives we have for you this week. Everybody have a fun and happy PS4 weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're all gonna be playing online except for Marty, because he's a broke loser.
Christmas time.
We'll see you online. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Marty. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
My name is Damon. This is IGN GameScoop, and we're out. Thank you.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's H-Y-P-E-R-T-H-E-T-I-C-A-L.